Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by actor Mickey Cochran, who is producing and performing in a one-man show based on the life of the Cruiserweight World Champion, Glenn McCrory, called Carrie and David. It's a wonderful thing. He was on great form.
Lovely.
It was really good.
As well, wasn't it? Really nice guy.
The Racing League has been unfolding over the last few weeks. And Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly, who bring us racing here on TalkSport, they are both team managers. So they indulge in a bit of classic bants, a bit of to and fro. And Rupert admitted to a very, very odd fear, didn't he?
He did. I found that a very... I don't know why he went on that tangent.
I don't know. He did, but he brought it to us and we'll bring it to
share with the group.
I think he did. I think he did. And we brought you the birthday spread, yes. As always. And we had a chat and you got involved. It was one of those. So here it all is.
Birthday spread. Charlie Baker on fine form in the birthday spread, really. It's just what an opponent he's proving to be.
It's a very difficult thing all week, Paul, to not look at them. Birthdays. Well, not to do any research, any cheating at all.
Yeah, that's good.
Just have to be aware of it.
You're telling me you haven't?
Yeah? I haven't at all. I never do. I know this sounds like a guilty man saying, I didn't do it and I've not done it. And if I do really well, it's not my fault. No, but you know.
So it is 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
And afternoon, Paul.
With the new signings comes, all the clubs in the transfer window, comes the rush to the club shop to get that player's name on the back of your shirt. And of course, that brings its own problems. A number of club shops have been finding. Birmingham City's club shops run out of ease.
Have they?
Yeah, that's
right. They're not sorted for ease.
No, they're not sorted for ease because, Troy Deeney is gone there. So we've got an ease shortage. So they'll be hurriedly doing that. Same thing happened at the Manchester United shop. They ran out of V's.
Well, you can understand it with V's. You'd under order V's.
Well, this is, I'll give you that one. When I worked at Chelsea, Graham Lasso re-signed for the club.
The X.
Where they didn't have
How
a lot
many
of
X's are they going
to
have?
I think that was when I sort of went in to see the manager of the club shop, the head of, I said, well, Graham Lasso's coming back. He's going to come and sign later because I needed a shirt for my hold up. So he said, oh, I don't know where we're going to get X's from. So that was his first thing. It's not like, oh, it's great to see Graham back. What a fine England fullback he is. It was, oh, we're going to get the X's
Xavier, trying to think of other X's that
I suppose, I mean, how long do you have to wait for a kind of new shipment? Oh, we can't get in there. Stuck on the Suez Canal. Could have used that one. Stuck on the Suez Canal. Have you ever had to improvise? Have you gone into the club shop and thought, well, this is what I really wanted, but it's not happening, so I'll just improvise. So look, do let us know if you've been a victim of that and how long you had to wait for that.
Jan Venegor of Hesselink was always the one, wasn't it? You know, always the one that seemed very expensive.
Yeah, that's just Jan on the back. Yeah. Go with that. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. Martin Lipton's going to be joining us a little bit later on. We're going to hear from him. He's just heading back from Portugal after witnessing history. Cristiano Ronaldo becoming the player who scored the most goals in men's football, of course.
He's on Nelson now, of course, isn't he? 111.
111 he is, that's
right. Might never score ever again, Paul.
It was a bit tight on the Republic of Ireland, who played very well. But we'll talk to Martin about what it was like over there, witness that in person. We'll look at the Hungarian team as well, Jonathan Wilson. He wrote the book on Hungarian football, literally.
I'm going to ask him why.
Why he wrote a book about Hungarian football?
Yeah, I wonder why you'd choose that.
I'm sure that'll get him onside. That's great. Yeah, Jonathan. No, thanks for coming. Why do you waste your time doing that for, mate?
He's obviously a brilliant writer, but you sort of go, what a strange sort of subject to write it on, though.
Not if you look at the story. I mean, you've seen an excerpt of one of the stories today.
I have. Very interesting.
Our typewriter salesman was instrumental in making Hungary one of the great forces in world football. That's one story of about 50 similar ones.
I can see I'm not going to be allowed to open the interview.
God.
What have you done this for?
You're lethal, you are, Charlie. Hello, Jonathan. What do you write about? Anyway, let's head to the Oval. And slightly more considered take.
Smashing morning.
On the morning's play. Yeah, John Norman is there. John, I've got to be honest, I looked up at the telly at 25 for no wicket, thinking, oh dear, they could have done with one by now. It's going to be getting to them. But suddenly the ball seemed to be doing a bit more, and the wickets did come.
Yeah, certainly did, especially when Chris Wokes came on to bowl. He bowled one delivery which moved, you know, off the pitch, off the seam. I mean, it looked like a leg break, essentially. Bowled at about 85 miles an hour, and it was a follow-up ball, really, that did for Rohit Sharma, getting some lift. And Sharma edging behind, and that actually was in a period of play. They very often say it's not the, don't look at the ball that got the wicket, look at the balls that preceded it. And England bowled 43 dot balls to India, who did get off to a decent start, 28 without loss, but that became 28 for two, because in that period of 43 dot balls there were those two wickets. And really the pressure was just mounting and mounting. There was an inside edge back past the stumps. There was Rohit Sharma just chipped short of mid on. Look, England have bowled brilliantly well today. It was a win the toss and bowl kind of morning. But as you say, when the ball wasn't doing quite as much as what we saw in the morning at Headingley, you wonder whether maybe Joe Root called, or rather decided incorrectly. But at lunch with a score 54 for 3, you'd have to say... once again, he's made it count.
When you're out of nick the way that Virat Kohli is, John, you probably don't want to come in circumstances like this. Mm. But he's, you know, he's taken them on. He's hit three fours. He's been quite positive, really, considering the situation. Jadeja's not looked quite as quite as good. Certainly not before lunch. He looked a bit iffy, didn't he?
Oh, it looked terrible. I mean, for all that... Virat Kohli, his feet started to move. Mm. There was a couple of nice shots down the ground. You know, he looked the class player that he is. But at the other end, Ravindra Jadeja, you know, he's so keen not to get caught behind. You know, he was struck on the pad, shouldering arms. One ball whistled past the outside of off stump. He's leaving on length as much as anything, but he looks all over the place, and it was a real surprise when he came down the steps and out onto the field. I thought it was that guy back again, you know, it was like Jarvo. It's supposed to be Rahane. Who's this guy? Oh, it's Jadeja. Yeah. So strange from India, and you just feel they're making some curious decisions again. Ashwin left out. Can you really afford to leave out the second best bowler in the world? Mm. They've gone in with a very weak looking Pant at six. You've got to say, we spoke about this yesterday, the knives are out for Kohli, and nothing that I've seen today in terms of the team selection, the shot selection, the order selection suggests that those knives are going to be put away anytime soon.
Thanks, John. Back to you later.
Cheers, guys.
John Norman there at the Oval. Also interested here, apart from having to improvise, whether you were an outlier when it came to club shirts, or whether someone, because occasionally you will see someone at the ground with a name on the back.
Yeah.
And it's there's just a player that never gets their name on the back of a shirt, you know, a fairly unglamorous player.
Yeah.
So if you've been the outlier, if you've said, well, I couldn't get the one, so I'm going to go for this guy.
Yeah.
Or the new signing. signing. I wonder if many people have gone with Royale on the back of the shirt. Just hope he's good.
You never know, do you?
Because you're sight unseen. I mean, you just don't know, do you? You put somebody's name.
Might be good.
It's quite a commitment you're making there.
If you go to my son supports Oxford United, and if you go to the Oxford United club shop towards the end, sort of a couple of months to go, you get all the people who've been there and not quite made it in the reserves. And all their shirts are on the sale rail.
That must make you feel special when you go into the club
who's
shop.
Who's he? You know, who's that?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Development courtesy of Lewis on the world of shirts, names and numbers. I went to the Monaco Grand Prix and I wanted a Monaco away shirt. But there was only one left in my size, says Lewis. And it had one that had not been picked up by a customer. So it just said, Mickey 89. He doesn't know why. He said, I wanted Ben Yedder, but beggars can't be choosers. But have you ever done
Mickey
that?
Mickey 89,
you do
just
get
the shirt.
You do get those shirts and you think, well, someone didn't go and pick that up. But if you don't mind having sort of Arthur on the back of it, 23. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We have asked you this afternoon about some of your football shirt tales and when you've had to improvise occasionally with names and numbers. Our old mate Crackers, who we heard from outside the Spurs training ground, has been in touch. He said, I was helping out the celebrity soccer tournament. We had a game at the King Power one Sunday a couple of years back. A last-minute inclusion of a player called Llewellyn saw me pop into the club shop to get a game shirt hurriedly printed. Of course, when I got there, they had no L's.
I was going to say, no L's for Llewellyn. It's a disaster.
So the club shop manager and I set about Kasper Schmeichel's number ones with a pair of scissors. And in the end, the back of the shirt looked like a ransom note, he says. Crackers saying, keep those coming. We've had some really good ones. TalkSport.com, text 1889, tweets TS, H and J. Now, a couple of years back, our next guest was with us in the studio. Very much looking forward to playing the part of the former world cruiserweight champion, Glenn McCrory, in the play of Glenn's autobiography, Carrie and David. And everything was set fair. And then, of course, in time, the pandemic struck and derailed that, which was a great blow to Mickey Cochran, who plays Glenn in the play. Good afternoon. Good to see you, Mickey.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. I mean, last time we spoke, everything was looking good. You had a big theatre lined up in Newcastle to perform the play, didn't you?
Yeah. We were playing Newcastle Theatre Royal, which, if you're from the North East, is kind of the pinnacle, really. Massive, massive theatre. And all the build-up was looking well. We were coming to London to play a few days as well, and then COVID struck. And we didn't really know what was going to happen at the time. It was I was getting fit for the role, and the writer Ed had said to me, "Just keep going and just stay fit," you know. So I did for about sort of 5-6 weeks, and then had to kind of give up on that and just eat some chips. But
I was going to say, because, you know, obviously you're playing a boxer in the prime of his life.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of us may have put on the odd pound over the pandemic. And,
yeah.
And so did you just drop it completely or...
I did for a bit. You know, it was strange, really. It was all very surreal. I think if we'd known at the time, you know, if somebody said it's going to be 6 months or it's going to be a year, this is how long it's going to take, then you can get your mind around it.
Yeah.
But because we didn't know what was going to happen, I just kind of carried on. And I was, you know, I got a home gym and went running and all that sort of stuff. And then I just thought, this is not going to happen, is it? So I cracked open a few tins and I just kind of gave up on the idea, you know, yeah.
It's worth telling us a bit more about the play.
Yeah.
Because it's not just Glenn McCrory's story, is it? Carrie and David, there's a reason that was the name of his brother.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is about his relationship with his brother, isn't it? So probably worth kind of telling us.
Yeah. So it's taken from Glenn's autobiography of the same name, and we follow Glenn's career, but we also follow the life of his brother David. And they had this amazing close bond. He was an adopted brother, and Glenn was closest in age to him, so Glenn got to spend a lot of time with him. And the reason it's called Carrie and David is... He had a terminal illness, David, which meant he couldn't walk very well, and he slowly, you know, lost the use of his limbs and speech and stuff like that. But he used to make Glenn late for school because he would walk with him, and he couldn't walk as quick, and Glenn would get the cane, and one day he just picks him up, sticks him on his back, and they run to school, and they just end up, you know, they have this amazing relationship, and it's the story's as much about David really, and about how David's bravery and courage drags Glenn back from his darkest moments. I mean, he lost a whole load of fights. He was badly mismanaged.
Yeah.
And he was seriously thinking about giving everything up, but he had this brother who was defying all expectations just by being alive. So he kind of took his example and he came back as a cruiserweight. He was a heavyweight. And he goes on to become a world champion. And David lives long enough to see Glenn fulfill that dream. So it's both of their dream, really. It's not all about Glenn, you know.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, you were saying before that you're doing the whole thing yourself, you know, producing, helping the writing and directing it yourself, doing ticket sales, doing the whole thing, but also you're out there on your own every single night. And I think when actors work by themselves, a lot of the time, it's as close as they get to boxing is actually the closest analogy you can get. Because when you're a boxer, it's just you, isn't it? It's just you taking the punches every single night. No one else can do it for you. And as an actor, to walk out on your own and not having anyone else next to you or anyone to bounce the lines off, it's just you, isn't it? So you must be able to find some common ground there.
Yeah. Well, I did talk to Glenn about this because he's done a bit of acting himself. And I said, is there a similar thing about, you know, a kind of the build-up that you use? And boxing can be very theatrical as well. And I said, what made you more nervous, walking on stage or going into the boxing ring? And he said, walking on stage, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and he was used to the whole boxing world. But there's a way of, especially when you're doing a one-man show, you have to kind of detach yourself from everything that's happening around you. So you have to kind of forget it and get into your kind of zone and get ready and do your preparation and all of that sort of thing. So I think, in a way, it's pretty similar, like the how you deal with the nerves and how you use it. And not burning up too much nervous energy to be able to go out and perform night in, night out, I think.
As Charlie was saying, you're producing it, you're doing everything yourself. This is because Ed Waugh was not available to do that at the moment, the writer who'd produced it before. So it's clearly a sort of passion project for you, isn't it? Otherwise, this play probably wouldn't have been performed, but you care about it and you care about playing the part, don't you?
Absolutely. I think it's an amazing story. I mean, really, it's an amazing achievement. I mean, we've been watching England in the summer and them getting to the final. I mean, Glenn was the first boxer from the Northeast to become a world champion, which is something in itself to celebrate. But it's really, really, it's inspirational. It's kind of triumph over adversity, I think, about never giving up on your dreams. And when we were cancelled last year, I was very frustrated. I was a little bit angry. And Glenn got in touch and he said to me, look, the story is a good story and it's inspirational and it's the kind of story that people will want to see. And I just think it's a big play. I think it deserves to be on a big stage. And, you know, at the end of the show, we recreate the World Championship fight. And I don't think there's been many things done like that on stage. And I've done loads and loads of boxing. To the point, I'm wondering, should I have a little fight? But yeah,
don't like getting hit in the face.
You definitely should. That's the thing. You trained with Glenn, didn't you? The first time around before you performed.
Yeah, first time we did it, it was to get his style, because he was very, very light on his feet and he was a good technical boxer. Hmm. And what Ed did the first time round, he just sat down with Glenn and he said, look, describe to me the fight round by round. And he wrote everything that Glenn said to him. So it's all, you know, he's fighting Patrick Lumumba in this championship, 300 yards from where he lives, all of the build-up. And then everything in the ring, when he got hit, the big punches he landed,
yeah,
he gets his eardrum perforated. Yeah. So it's, I didn't want it to be too theatrical. I wanted it to look real.
Mm.
When I first read it in the script, I thought, how on earth are we going to do this? But everybody who came to see it absolutely loved it. And so I needed it to look as close to Glenn as was possible.
Yeah.
So he showed me his boxing style, and then I've just been training ever since. It's great. Yeah.
Well, we've spoken to Glenn about the play, and he admits he finds it difficult to watch. He said, because it's my life, and I every time I watch it, it brings it all back to me. He said it's very emotional for him.
I had a conversation with him about David as well, and he really sees it more as David's story than his. And even just having a conversation with him, he started to crack up and it got to him, you know. And so I kind of left it at that. But I've met his family as well. I was out with his family last week. And they're really close-knit, down-to-earth people. And, you know, it's just this remarkable thing happened to him in his hometown, 300 yards from where he lived. And his brother happened to be there. His brother, who wasn't expected to live beyond 15, mm-hmm. was still there at the age of 26,
yeah.
supporting him in the crowd. He couldn't walk, couldn't talk, but he was there. And so it's very, still very raw with Glenn. When he talks about it, you can still see he thinks about it a lot. But it's a tribute to him. And I've said to Glenn as well, I want to take this play as far as I can for you as well, so you can pay tribute to your brother, you know. So, I mean, his family came to see it in Stanley on the 30th anniversary, and that nearly had me in tears. I had to kind of forget that they were in the audience, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a lovely story. It's very heartwarming.
Yeah.
And what else have you got going on? So when the pandemic hit, a lot of people in the industry, their jobs just disappeared, and I'm assuming you had to make a living somehow. And
yeah, I went out doing delivery driving. I was going around the bend. I had a one-year-old child who didn't say much, and it was just me and him in the house. You know, yeah. I had four plays that year, and everything just disappeared one by one. Mm. Just an email, that's gone, that's gone, that's gone. And you kind of think, you do think, shall I do something else? So that was part of the reason why I wanted to bring this back as well. I thought it deserves to be on, but I want to be doing what I want to do. Mm. And I believe in the story that much. So it's almost, I'm relieved. I'm relieved that it's going to go ahead.
Yeah.
Because at times I thought it's not going to. I got COVID at the start of July as well. And I lost Nelly Stone.
Oh.
And I thought, I think this show's cursed.
Maybe
I should just give up.
I
couldn't eat the chips anymore, you know what I mean? I had to put the can
your,
to one
in your
side.
Pants on the scales,
yeah.
We've seen it.
But I think that whole experience has made me more determined to put the show on and for as many people as possible to see it, I think.
Yeah. And those other projects that were in the pipeline, are they starting to come back? Or, I mean, from the industry's point of view, do you think some of those have sort of gone forever, sadly?
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm doing a lovely Christmas show. That's definitely back this year, but I haven't heard about the two other projects.
Sure.
So we just don't know, and I'm kind of just taking it every day as it comes, you know what I mean? I hope we can maybe, for this show, attract a couple of producers to the London shows that can come and see it, and they might think, let's take it on and do something else with it.
Yeah.
But I think anything is a bonus at the moment, really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. What was your route into acting then, Mickey?
That's my mother's fault, really. I was good at acting at school, but it's when you're young and you're from the area I'm from, you just tend to think that it's not for you. You know, I love football. I was really good at football. I just thought I was going to play for Newcastle, so I didn't really think about anything else. But I also loved drama at school.
Mm.
But they kind of didn't go, they weren't compatible, and, you know, you got the Mickey taken out of you. And so for years, I didn't really do anything. I sang in bands, so I was always performing. And it was my mother who said, why don't you try and do the acting thing?
Yeah.
So I went and did a degree. I went for an audition. I was working night shifts at the time. I came off the night shift, did this audition, got accepted immediately and then thought, what on earth have I done? I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the degree, I was the only one who got an agent. But I think it was because I just had this attitude of, I enjoy this, just get up and do it. I wasn't thinking about all of the other things.
Yeah.
And so I've been a professional actor ever since. I'm still bewildered by it, but, you know, here we are.
Word on Newcastle. What does Steve Bruce need to do to pick it all up?
You know what it is? I've been thinking about this. This is the one season where I've never really looked. I haven't looked at it and felt nervous.
Yeah.
Especially for the last 10,
nervous
15
to go
years.
Down, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, obviously we all know what's happened with the owner and everything else over the last sort of 15 years. Every year I've at the start of the season felt nervous about relegation. This year I thought we came back so well last year that I'm not too worried about it. Now, it's, you know, obviously we've had a pretty poor start of the season. It's really hard because I think last year everybody was talking about attacking football and we were really dire. And it looks like we're attacking, but now we're a bit loose at the back.
Mm.
It's that middle ground now, isn't it? Of, you know, trying to eke out a few wins. It's not always pretty and it's not the way we do it. Just need to get some points on the table.
You sense they'll be okay, Mickey, don't you? Yeah. You kind of think.
I think we've got enough.
Yeah, they have.
Great forward line if you can keep them.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah,
and they kept
to
maximum. They've got goals in them and
definitely.
Stuff.
I'm amazed we've kept him.
I am.
I can't understand that. What were there any bids?
At Torquay, we often have players. I go, they're too good for us. What are they still doing?
Well,
you sort of feel the same with.
Don't say anything about them.
I think if you shaved your head. If you shaved your beard off, you could do the one-man show of Shearer.
Yeah.
I think that could be the next great Northeast one-manner.
You
could play Shearer.
That's a great story, isn't it? A man who's
I'm not doing football on stage.
Yeah. You just got to do a one-handed goal celebration. That's all you need to do. So where can we see it, Mickey? Yeah. Where can people see Kerry and David?
So I brought me flyer just in case. So we start next Wednesday in Blyth in the Northeast. Then we come down to London at the Canal Cafe and play from the 10th to the 12th. And then back to the northeast to play the Queen's Hall Centre in Hexham. And then Durham on the 16th at the Gawler Theatre. 17th, Tyne Theatre. On the 18th, we go to Alnwick in Northumberland. Mm. And then we go to Barnard Castle, the Witham. So it's like a real sort of spread, you know what I mean, around the northeast.
Lovely
especially.
Places.
And the London, I think the London venue seems to be like a really sort of cool venue. And Glenn's coming to see it on the Friday on the 10th, so that'll be good.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Is there a website people can get all the details? Have we got something on Twitter or whatever?
All the links are on Wisecrack Productions, so if you just go there, all the dates and links are there. Would I be able to just give a quick thank you to my sponsors for this who've made it happen?
Yeah.
My sister's one of them.
All right, your sister's all right.
Sun Health have been helping me with the meal prep to get into shape. Darren Bainbridge of DB Stockholm, who flew from Sweden to see it in Belfast the first time we did it and said, you know, it's great, I'll help you out. And the third one is Enhanced Conservatories, who Glenn's an ambassador for and does adverts in the Northeast.
Yeah, right.
So I thought I'll approach them. This is a no-brainer. So they said yes to that as well.
Right.
So I thought I've got to mention them because without them, the show wouldn't have gone ahead. So, you know, thanks. They put the money in for it. Wisecrack Productions, all the links are there.
I think
it's a fantastic story. It's not all about boxing. It's entertaining, and you'll be surprised by some of the things that happen.
We'll put a link to Wisecrack on TSH&J, so we'll put it on our Twitter feed so people can follow that. But we wish you well, Mickey.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to see you again. We're glad it's going to get to a wider audience.
Absolutely.
Which is brilliant. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Go and see Mickey Cochrane as Glenn McCrory in Carrying David, and say we'll put all those details up on at TSH&J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Let's head back to the Oval.
Yes, we should.
Where a big moment for Virat Kohli, certainly in light of the way things are going for him recently, John.
Yeah, 50 up for Kohli, 100 up for India, then 105 for four. And two games really taking place at the moment when Kohli's batting, looking to get on with things, loves to get bat on ball. It does prove to be his undoing at times, especially when the ball's moving around a little bit, and it is moving around a little bit. There's a good ball there from Robinson, which cuts Rahane, I think, in half. Lucky not to get an inside edge. Actually, no, it's Kohli. So Kohli's living slightly dangerously, maybe just at the bat inside, actually. Rahane, though, almost going shotless and scoreless, 5 from 19. But as long as Kohli's keeping that scoreboard ticking along, India won't mind that too much. We've had one wicket in the session, that of Jadeja, He was dismissed for 10. England have seen Kohli dropped in the slips. There's been a few plays and misses along the way, but India grimly holding on here at the Oval, 105-4.
Thanks very much, John. Back to John throughout the afternoon. You've been telling us a few football shirt tales today. I used to work for a large sportswear company, no longer trading. We never had full stops. And Van Nistelrooy signed for United, so I had to just cut up L's. No one ever noticed, says Martin. Thank you very much.
Oh, you asked this earlier on. I was in the Spurs shop this morning and saw someone getting E Royale 12 on the back of a shirt. My son was only brave enough to get 10 Kane today. Well, might need a new one at Christmas.
I mean, that's the thing. I suppose the club shop know what the player's going to have on the back of their shirt because otherwise you don't want that. You don't find you're just going to have Emerson or Royale and you've got E Royale, which is great in Yorkshire.
E.
But beyond that, not much good. Thank you, Alex, for letting us know.
Yeah.
I was young and skinned, so I had to have Fox 7 on my shirt as I was paying by the letter, says Kevin, the Spurs fan.
Paying by the letter is the theme, yeah. Names on shirts. I had a friend who was service manager at a garage in Nottingham. He once noticed how many one of the technicians was a tad grumpy. He then asked what the problem was. He said Forrest are charging 50p a letter on the replica shirts and my lad wants Collymore plus his number.
So they ran out of E's because of Varane at Manchester United's megastore. They ran out of E's because of Troy Deeney in Birmingham. So you've been telling us a few tales of the names and numbers on the back of the shirts and being the outlier, being the one that goes for the less obvious shirt. Me and my friend Danny went to Barcelona and watched him play Jerez in 2009. Whilst in the club shop, he looks at all the shirts, the Messis, the Iniestas, the Xavis, etc. And I said, I'm going to go left field with this one. And I got the shirt with the name Krijinski, 21. Yeah.
Even they had to look it up.
A young player that probably didn't have many people.
Even he has to look up how to spell his own name.
I think he probably does. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just check in once again with John Norman at the Oval watching England versus India in the fourth test.
106-5 at India. Don't go anywhere because Rishabh Pant's at the crease. He's yet to get off the marks, faced 11 deliveries, but he's just come down the track and had a massive, wild swipe at a length delivery from Ollie Robinson. He missed it by a mile, but that gives you some indication of where this game is going. Ajinkya Rahane, complete opposite end of the spectrum, 34 deliveries, 6 not out, but since that wicket of Kohli, 450, caught behind from the bowling of Robinson, his second wicket today, this game possibly decisively moving towards England again. 106-5 India.
Thanks very much, John. Now, we've been keeping you in touch with the Racing League, the inaugural Racing League here on the show, because Rupert Bell is a team manager alongside the absentee Alan Brazil. Not been to one.
Just not being involved.
And Lizzie Kelly, the former jockey who works with Rupert as part of the commentary team. She's also a team manager for Racehorse Lotto. There was a while back when Lizzie was quite high up the table and Rupert was sort of languishing.
Yeah, there was a lot of trash talk when
there
they started between the two.
There was a lot of trash talk. But suddenly we find the situation now where Rupert's in the ascendancy, Team Talk Sport, and they could actually go and win it tonight. So let's see what Lizzie makes of that. Lizzie Kelly and Rupert Bell join us now. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
What's gone wrong, Lizzie? Let's start.
bad management.
What's going on? Sack the manager. Racehorse
Kelly
Lotto.
Out. Hashtag.
Yeah, it's not. The last couple of weeks have taken a sour turn.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we haven't really performed to the best of our ability. Unfortunately, I have no referee to blame on this occasion. But even if we won a couple of races tonight, I think we're very much out of it.
Well, you're not being relegated, are you? So you're solidly mid-table, which
I mean, there are a lot of teams that have been frankly quite pathetic. So I'm pretty pleased that I'm not in that.
Can you get the lads together? Are you in the stable and just have a good chat? And
exactly.
We go again.
We go again next year.
Yeah, just try to revamp the team next year.
Well, Rupert Bell, clearly it was a slow burner from you, Rupert. You were always in control. You were quite happy to sit there and take all the abuse from Lizzie, knowing full well that your horses would train on and you'd be in this position now?
Well, I've had such an influence on the trainers. I've been talking to my brother every hour, and James Fanshawe is just hanging on my every word. And Roger Varian has been saying, Rupert, why aren't you a full-time trainer? But I'm excited about our chances tonight. We've got three favourites in the first three races. But can I make a confession on air? Lizzie's just been on a train for 6 hours. She's going to make a confession about the coffee she's been drinking. Okay. But I drove to Newcastle, and I now realise why I like flying to Newcastle, because I had to drive past the Angel of the North, mm-hmm. and it gives me the heebie-jeebies every time I see it.
Why?
I don't know. It gives me the creeps. It's supposed to be this great thing, but as I look at the Angel of the North, a shudder comes across my body, and I think, who thought that was a good idea to put it there? It's more like the Devil of the North, as far as I'm concerned.
Were you once accosted by a giant man with his arms outstretched? is it like a bad memory or something?
Well, I don't know. I need to go and see Jung, Freud or someone to discuss my angst about the Angel of the North. But you know what, Lizzie, do you understand what I'm saying?
I've never seen it.
Well... if you drive down the A1, you won't, because you're on the train. But anyway, I've got to go past it tomorrow, and I'm already in fear.
Do you know what you've got to do, Rupert? I've seen it. You go close up, you can walk up to it and everything. Maybe get a snake round your neck. What you've got to do is go up to it, park up, walk up the hill, and confront it.
Have I got to hug the Angel of the North?
Yeah, that's what you need to do. Yeah, have a picture taken with it. Let it into your life, Rupert, or whenever you drive past it, just shut your eyes for...
Don't do that.
Then I may be going to meet the angel or the devil, I don't know.
I think you might be. What was wrong with the coffee then, Lizzie, on the train? I mean, what were you expecting? They don't normally have a barista on the train. I don't know what your expectation was.
I think, well, I was on a train for 7 hours, which was quite a mammoth trip anyway. Mm. And the coffee was... well, it was just revolting. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I don't mind... I'm not a, like, coffee connoisseur or anything. As long as it's sort of hot and milky, I don't really mind. But it was just, like, disgusting.
Okay, oh, dear. 7 hours of disgusting coffee.
Yeah, well, when you're on a train for 7 hours, you sort of need something to keep you going,
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't sound much like we're talking much about racing. I'm interested in tonight's racing.
Let's remember the form. Because Jack Mitchell is the TalkSport jockey.
Good stuff.
And I read today he must hunt down Hayley Turner in a racing sense, obviously, because that is so. But he's got some good rides tonight, which is why you're confident, Rupert.
Yeah, and in the first race, second slip, which, given cricket, it might be an appropriate winner. Mm. For James Fanshawe, that's our first one, and looks a hot favourite. Then he's riding a horse for my brother, Ace Rothstein, who won just over 9 days ago and looks to be a reasonable thing in the 6:35. And then we've got another one, Bonneval, for James Fanshawe again. So Jack could be the top jockey. He's really embraced the racing league throughout, and he's very good at Newcastle, riding Newcastle. So fingers crossed, Jack is the man to steer TalkSport to stop Thoroughbred and Goat Racing, who are the first and second. We've got a bit of a gap, so I think we do need to win at least two races. But hopefully, come 7:07:10, we've won three races, and then we build on that and we collect the trophy. And Alan Brazil will then say, oh, it's all down to him. But he's currently on a golf course doing his golf day. He is the lesser spotted Brazil when it comes to being a manager.
Well, enjoy, both of you.
Lizzie, can I recommend to you a product called an AeroPress? Which is it's the best thing for camping if you want nice coffee when you're camping. So on the train it'd be nice as well. You have to carry your own. You have to carry it around with you. But all you'd have to ask for then is a cup of hot water, AeroPress. It really puts a lot of pressure, and you make your own proper coffee. It's very, very nice.
What about that?
Shares.
Sounds great. I mean, I'd probably a little bit extra to sort of get all that out on the tiny little table that you get.
I was trying to help you, but you sound like you're not bothered. Yeah. So trying to help you, Lizzie, to be honest.
Well, thank you for your advice. I shall look into it.
I shan't bother next time.
They sell them in Newcastle, don't you? You can find a shop at Wigan. Where can you find them? Yeah.
Also, we were wondering how much do people who put the horses into the stalls get
paid? The stall handlers, Charlie.
I was thinking, is it like 50 quid a day sort of thing?
50 quid a day.
Is it more sort of skilled job than that?
I wouldn't be able to tell you what they earn, but they not because it's a secret, just because I don't know. But
does anybody know? Does anybody know?
But no, it's quite a lot of the handlers will ride out in the morning and then go to the races in the afternoon. And I'm not sure what they earn, but it's a full time job for some.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a decent wage. It is a very skilled job. Okay. Because they have to be able to deal with they're not always easy. The horses, they won't always just walk straight in. So I think there's quite a lot of training.
I did think it was a job. I didn't think it was just people like,
just off the street.
What, just any old.
Just into it.
I don't know about that, Charlie. I suggested maybe a horse whisperer, then you wouldn't need all that brute force.
There are people that sort of, well, I wouldn't maybe say horse whisperers, but they have a technique of what they call Rutherford, isn't it?
They can calm a horse.
They have different equipment and stuff like that, and they run a business off being able to get horses into the stalls that are otherwise quite difficult.
There we are.
The Rutherford technique. We'll have to master that, Charlie.
Find that. Then we'll get into it. Yeah. Make coffees with our Aeropress on the train. We'll be away.
That's it. We're off. We've solved a lot there in the last 5 minutes. Okay, look, enjoy tonight. I hope it goes well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
No worries.
There we are. That's Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly. They'll be your commentary team tonight. It's over on TalkSport 2, isn't it? We bring you, and it's on Sky if you've got access to a TV, but if you haven't, certainly listen to us here on the TalkSport. It's been the inaugural one. It's gone rather well. And, Rupert could be presiding over a victory for Team TalkSport and watching Alan take all the credit for it on Breakfast Tomorrow.
Fully John Terry.
That's right, he will.
He'll turn up in the silks.
He'll turn up in his TalkSport silks, Big Alan, and be cheered around Newcastle. So there we are. We've got the birthday spread coming up for you very shortly. Andy Jacobs will join us. Jeff Peters, who's not in his nerve centre today. More on that in a moment. But we'll keep you in touch, of course, with the cricket. 111 for five. India at the moment. They're teeing around 10 minutes' time, and we'll catch up with John Norman.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There has been another wicket.
Yes, please.
At the Oval in the game between India and England. Let's get the details from John Norman.
Yeah, another wicket for England. It's just been unrelenting pressure on the Indian batsman, no matter who's been bowling. Anderson, we're just having a little look at whether this carried, by the way. It was Moeen Ali at gully or fourth slip. Diving to his right, he claimed the catch. It's just a question whether it's bounced off his palms onto the ground before nestling back in his hands. I think that's good to go. So Rahane makes his way. But as I say, unrelenting pressure from this conveyor belt of right-arm seamers that England seem to produce more often than not. Overton this time on that back of a length, forcing the batsman to play. And as I say, Rahane has been caught by Ali, diving to his right for 14. That's a sixth wicket to fall here at the over. Rahane's not going anywhere. We're still having a look at this, but I think that's out. 117 for six.
And they're tough conditions, John, to bat in at the moment, aren't they?
Well, they are very, very tough conditions. But I tell you what, it's more to do with the accuracy of all four bowlers. You know, you've got swing and seam from Anderson. The same for the returning Wokes, who's possibly been the standout bowler. And then Robinson, Rahane is out, by the way, he's just making his way off the field. And then Robinson and Overton bowl from such a height. There's no great pace in and amongst that. And that will be something that England will be concerned about with a tour to Australia to come. But, from that height, again, managing to get purchase from the seam, it's just almost impossible to get on top of this England attack as things stand. And when you consider that we're watching an England team without the services of Archer, without Broad, Stokes, England are in a good position here. After winning the toss, deciding to bowl, justifying that decision for sure. India, 117 for six.
Thank you, John. Which means Andy Jacobs, who's joining us now for the birthday spread, probably in good spirits. They're bowling well, Andy, aren't they?
Oh, very good spirits. Yeah, they're bowling well. That was, whenever you look at those catches, they always look like they didn't take them. It looks like it hit the ground, but obviously it didn't.
No, it didn't. They had a good close forensic look at it. So this is the way the birthday spread works. You haven't heard it before. Let me explain. We have 10 birthdays. Andy has handpicked 10 people whose birthdays were this week. Some of them are famous, some of them not so famous. They're obviously much tougher to guess because it is the job of myself and Charlie Baker to guess how old these people are. It's as simple as that, really. And if we're sort of 10 years out, obviously. That goes,
or more.
That goes against us. A margin of error will build, and it's the one who has arrived at the 10 birthdays in the shortest amount of years out. Yeah. That is the winner.
Pretty simple.
It's pretty simple, yeah. Really. Yeah, so... there we are. We need someone to keep score, of course, yes. As well as supply us with the birthdays and the gags. And that is Jeff Peters. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon to you. How are you, gentlemen?
Yeah,
In a different nerve centre. If anyone wants to go on my Instagram story at Mr. Jeff Peters, then they'll see what the nerve centre looks like today.
Oh, what, okay. what a media mover he is.
Can you
plug in his Instagram there?
Can you paint pictures with words now? Where are you? Are you overseas?
There are palm trees.
Oh, he's in Torquay.
Torquay.
That's it. Cool. Torquay seafront.
Okay, so there we are. Our job is to guess the 10 birthdays, and Pele often helps us out musically. And here he is. So, Charlie, you won last week, didn't you, Charlie? So let's now attempt to guess the birthdays. The first one today, Andy, who is it?
It's a very happy birthday to the great long jump champion. It's never really been equal, certainly in the Olympics, Bob Beamon. And Bob, he had a real struggle during lockdown with social distancing. Everyone he knew insisted on being 29 foot 2 inches away from him, you know, just in case.
There we are.
68.
Bob Beamon, 68. You're saying.
Going for.
Bob Beamon. I'd say he's a bit older than that. I'd say he's about 80.
75.
Oh, sorry, Bob, if you're listening.
Okay.
So, Jeff, where are we at after that?
Yeah. It's Paul 5, Charlie 7.
Okay. That's,
I was thinking he's probably in his 20s.
I was 5 out, you yeah, were 7
at the Olympics. You know, that's what I was trying to work out. Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. It's very happy birthday to the actress Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig. And I'm a big fan of her millinery range, but I'm not sure it suits me. You can always tell when I'm wearing a wig.
Yeah. Marvellous.
Thank you.
Christian Wiig. I'll go. Christian Wiig is 42. 42.
42, you've having, gone with.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. She's sort of a bit older than your average actress, leading actress, because she got fame later, didn't she? Yeah, so I think you're right. 44.
She's 48, but it's great. Max wouldn't even know who she was.
Yeah. He might. Bridesmaids. Yeah, it's just the best film, isn't it? Bridesmaids.
So, oh, yeah, good film, mate.
So, Jeff, how many was I out? How many was Charlie out?
Paul, you were 6 out. Charlie, you were 4 out. It's 11 plays 11.
Ooh. Okay, 11 plays 11. Okay. Contest.
It's a very happy birthday to the singer-songwriter Sir Ivan Van Morrison. And he's produced dozens of albums, but my favourite is a little-known one he recorded with the late, great Eric Hall. What's that coming over the hill? Van Monster.
Oh, okay. Nice. You're still paying out. So this is Sir Ivan
Looking
Van Morrison.
Looking forward to the Selco joke later on.
Is the Van Morrison we all know and love, is it?
Van Morrison. Moondance.
Yeah. And other hits.
And other. Yeah. And the best. And others, the best of Van Morrison.
And the best of Van Morrison. To name but two.
I'm going to say he is 77.
Okay. He's an irascible old devil by all accounts. Yeah, we've never had him on before.
Utterly miserable, apparently.
It's a great Richard Gere story that I can't possibly tell at this time of day. But anyway, we'll move on. It's not that one. which I also can't tell at this time of day. But Van Morrison, 82. Oh.
76.
Oh. He wouldn't have liked me putting 6 years on him, would he?
Wow, wait.
So, how many out was I? How many was Charlie out, Jeff?
Paul, you were 6 out. Charlie was 1 out. It's Paul 17, Charlie 12, playing the game very well.
17, yeah, 12, this is where it gets tricky, though, because those are the only three I think you know. These are all people you probably don't know.
Okay.
I might be doing them a disservice. He's the chief executive of the Atomic Weapons Establishment, Ian Coucher. Ian Coucher. Yeah. One of the strangest jobs I ever had when I drove a minicab was when I dropped Ian off and I was summoned to a house where Kevin Keegan, Kevin Keelan, Kevin Kilbane, Kevin Kiranyi, and Kevin Kline were holding a gathering. I went from Coucher to 5K.
Oh, that was lovely. That's really lovely.
It's not necessarily funny, but it's
well
clever.
Well done, Andy. I mean, you showed your workings out. We enjoyed it.
That was good. That was good, yeah.
It was special. Special K. So,
yeah.
Go on.
Here we
go.
59, Charlie. I'm going to stick my neck out
Ian.
There.
I'm trying to think of the name Ian. There's not many Ians under certain age, are there? Yeah. So, chief executive. 63.
60.
Oh, so what has that done to the scores, Jeff?
Paul, just a one out. Charlie, three out. Paul, 18. Charlie, 15.
18, 15 is the running total of years we have been out so far on the birthday spread. So just before half-time, Andy, next one.
Yep, last birthday before half-time is the cellist, Professor Derek Avis. Wow. Professor Derek Avis. And he also runs an after-dinner speakers agency for several Old Forest players. I put Fran's car from him at Avis Car Hire.
Dear me.
Terrible.
Avis Car Hire. I like his wife, Mavis, his wife.
Yeah, Mavis is Mavis. Mavis Avis. If you were Mavis and you met a guy called Avis.
Hello, Mavis Avis.
Would you call it off?
He probably would.
I can't do it. I
can't do it to myself.
It's not you, it's me. Actually, it is you. It's your name.
Right.
And their son,
is
Davis.
It me?
It's you, yeah.
Okay.
Davis Avis.
I once tried to convince someone that Nick Clegg's mum was called Peg.
Peg.
Well, could be, she could be a Margaret, couldn't she? Anyway.
Okay. Okay. Say his name again. What does he do?
Professor Derek Avis.
Yes.
The cellist.
Cellist Derek Avis. 56.
Oh, I think he might be a bit older than that. I haven't got a clue. 72.
73.
Oh, there it is, a
pro. Good time to score just before half time.
I was much closer than Charlie. I think I was just one off, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, so Paul, one out again. Charlie, 17 out, having a bit of a rush in there. It's Paul, 19, Charlie, 32 at the halfway stage.
Well, delicately poised then. It is tea at the cricket. We'll catch up with John Norman very shortly. And we'll bring you the second half of the birthday spread in a few moments.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, at the halfway stage of the birthday spread, I have been cumulatively 19 years out on the five birthdays.
That's very good,
so
isn't it? That's very good, Paul, isn't
and
it?
You have been 32 years out cumulatively on the birthdays.
I let myself down. I started to get involved with the jokes,
but
as we
go into the second half, they do become far more volatile because of the nature of the sort of people Andy's talking about, emeritus professors and stuff like that. So anyway, here's Pelé again. Just to let you know, 122 for six at tea, India. So Andy, what's the next one?
It's the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen. Tsai Ing-wen. I used to play football with him, actually. He was an incredibly bad loser. He just wasn't himself if he wasn't victorious. You're only Ing-wen, you're winning.
Dear me. What country did you say?
Taiwan.
Taiwan. Wow, I don't know the president of Taiwan.
Tsai Ing-wen.
Yeah. 62, Charlie. It's a very difficult
president.
One,
is it president Tsai Ing-wen?
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and claw it back here. I'm gonna go 80.
Wow.
That's a big mistake. You're 65.
No. This could be it. Could be over.
Well, no, not necessarily. Jeff, how many years was I? How many years was Charlie out?
Paul, you were three out. Charlie was
15.
Yep. So that takes him to 57. And Tsai Ing-wen has got lots of farming fields. He keeps them immaculate, full of grass and trees. I do like Ing-wen's green and pleasant lands.
That's not bad. Not bad. Considering he's on holiday.
That one on the waiter in the hotel.
47 playing what, Jeff? Could you remind me?
47-22.
We lost you there, okay. 22, 47. But anything can happen. Here we go. Next one.
Okay, it's Lord Jerry Grimstone of Boscobel. Lord Jerry Grimstone of Boscobel. Investment Minister, Chairman of Barclays Bank from 2018 and 19, and Standard Life Aberdeen from 2017 to 18. A lot of information about him. Lord Jerry Grimstone. And he's a real barbecue expert. He always gets his coals just right. There's something about fire and grimstone.
Yeah, very good.
I think he's 88.
Oh, I don't think he's that old. I could be wrong. I'd go he's 73.
You're on form today. He's 72.
Oh, my goodness me.
What's that? What
thrash.
Is that?
This is a thrashing.
Yeah. What's that done to the scores?
This is unbelievable.
I'm just trying to work it out.
He's probably had a few beers.
One job he's got. One job. You've only got one job.
So there's 40 in it with three to play.
Oh. So we lost you there. You started being a bit Norman Collier. Could you remind us of the scores, Jeff?
23-63.
This will be making Max feel better.
Really? Max will enjoy this. When he wakes up tomorrow morning and listens to the podcast, he'll be very happy. He'll have a good day in quarantine.
Just trying to save face now, I think.
That's at all possible.
Playing for pride.
Okay, here we go then.
Okay, he's the industrialist, global investor, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett. And I was doing the catering for one of his lavish parties, and he came into the kitchen and said, "Will there be enough food?" I said, "It'll be an all-you-can-eat buffet."
All-you-can-eat buffet, yeah. Nearly messed up.
I did.
He's getting on now, Warren Buffett. Isn't he 89? What do you think, Charlie?
I was going to go up there as well, but that doesn't do
anything. Well, he's not 23, so it's me, difficult
it?
For
the
you,
trouble,
it?
Yeah.
89, I'm going.
I'll go... 85.
Yeah, stay in it. Stay in it, Charlie. That's the key.
Yeah, 91.
Oh, OK.
He's quite old.
So where are we, Jeff?
Jeff's
Paul, you've got two out. Charlie Jeff's is on the six beach. Out. Paul, 25. Paul, 25. Charlie, 69.
69 plays 25. But this your first this time. Let's see how it goes. Here we go.
OK, he's the Prime Minister of the Czech Republic, Andrej Babis. Mm. Andrej Babis. And I organised a trip for the whole family to go to Villa Park with Stan Collymore, but they annoyed him by running late. Stan said, "Come on, me Babis."
We're Babis, yes.
There we are.
OK, what do you think?
I think he's 55.
Yeah, I'd say 60. I'm going to go 60, Andy.
67.
OK, so Jeff, as we go into the last one,
can't get close.
What are the scores?
What a boring game.
Yeah, 32
plays what, Jeff?
81.
Oh, okay, look, this is the final one then.
At least it's been slick.
It's honestly, it's been like a well-oiled machine. So here we go. I'll go first as I'm leading.
Okay, landowner and director of the Vesti Food Group, Lord William Vesti, Lord Vesti. And for a while, I was his valet, but I got the sack for omitting to put his personal protector in his cricket bag. Got a P45 for forgetting Lord Vesti's box.
Yeah, you've got to be a regular
one for the
breakfast show listener around Cheltenham time. Yeah. Lord Vesti, 69.
78.
Oh, Charlie, you should have gone lower. 38.
Oh, no, I could have.
It was a trick one.
Oh, dear.
No.
So
terrible, terrible day.
He's the new Lord Vesti, the old Lord Vesti.
Yeah, sadly, no longer with us. Yeah, and paid the tribute.
Taking it too lightly. Taking it too lightly.
Young Lord Vesti. Okay, so...
I'm under a Vesti.
What were the final scores?
I hope you can still hear me. Paul, 63. Charlie, 61.
Sorry, say that again.
No, we missed the end there. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
63, Charlie.
Okay. Yes.
You're back in the nerve centre next week, Jeff.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Okay. It's like small man in a box. It's like
Rob
Brydon. Brilliant. Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Andy, you're here tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, I'm back tomorrow.
Marvellous. Okay, we'll have some clips of the week for you and all that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Charlie, you're back on Saturday.
Back on Saturday morning with Mark Smith.
Yes.
For the 10 till 1 Saturday, because it's an international weekend.
And then?
All the usual rubbish. And then back with you next week.
Fantastic. Yep, Charlie will be with me on Tuesday. So, Andy, you'll be here tomorrow. So if you can listen in, great. If not, podcast will be available about 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.